Welcome to the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. Shaping Portsmouth is a collaboration of key Portsmouth businesses, transforming Portsmouth together. Hello and welcome to another Shaping Portsmouth podcast with me, CEO Dave Humphreys. And today I'm joined by Rob Cunningham from BH Live. Welcome, Rob.
Thank you, Dave. Nice to be here.
So for more regular listeners, you might notice a little bit more echoey today, and that's because we're actually in Portsmouth Guildhall doing the podcast, not in the normal studios down at Spark Community Space. But no, Rob, welcome to the Guildhall. So BH Live, what's your role there?
Yep. So I'm the Leisure and Business Development Director for BH Live. So I oversee all of our leisure facilities across Bournemouth, Southampton, and most importantly, the facilities in Portsmouth.
Okay, so for people not familiar with BH Live, how big the business actually is and all the different components of it, we'll come back to that in a minute. But clearly the starting point there is the Bournemouth bit, hence the BH in BH Live. Which makes me wonder, are you from Portsmouth originally?
No, I'm not. I'm born and bred from Reading. Went to school there, grew up there, started work there, and then moved a little bit further south, only a little short distance to Basingstoke, and then in 2020 moved down and relocated to Waterlooville. And yeah, very much feel a little bit part of Portsmouth, albeit I do recognise it's over the hill, so not completely in Pompey.
And I mean, obviously, you oversee quite a big portfolio in terms of leisure facilities, not just in the city, because actually the BH Live footprint in the city is probably bigger than people realise, certainly bigger than I did, but that stretches quite an area. But how did you get into leisure in the first place?
Yeah, so I was very sporty at school. And I was fortunate enough to get selected for my county rugby team, so Berkshire county rugby at 14 years of age. And then I always struggled quite a lot at school academically, and always felt that my pathway was going to go through sport. So struggled sort of GCSEs, very difficult, or found my A levels very difficult, and then I was provided an opportunity to undertake quite an extensive and quick fitness instructor and personal trainer qualification, something that I was very interested in, just given my sporting background. And yeah, completed that course over a 12-week period to then get my first full-time job as a fitness instructor for a private health club at the time, before moving into public leisure a little bit later. So I worked on the gym floor as a fitness instructor as my first role, and my career's sort of grown from there.
So, I mean, obviously, there will be, and we certainly get it through the apprenticeship bus, because sports and leisure is one of the requests for information that people want quite a lot of. So obviously there's quite a lot of interest in that sort of career. What would you be your advice to someone who wanted to get into that field about how to go about starting in the sports and leisure industry?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it is around building relationships, and I think being part of a sports or fitness team, it's all about having relationships. It's about, I think, the willingness to help people as well. You know, whether that's your coaches helping you, and then you're starting to coach your peers and other players, I think is an important aspect. And I think it's about, having good communication skills, good attitude. And I suppose going back to the early parts of my career, there are probably some key traits and behaviours that I tried to be a success, whether, as I say, that was being a fitness instructor, talking to people, helping people, coaching people, and it's something that I just really enjoyed. So if that's an aspect that residents want to do, and some of your service users, then yeah, it's perhaps a career that I would definitely recommend.
And going from a fitness instructor, and I'm guessing largely working on the floor in the gym with clients directly, one-to-one, you find yourself as director level of quite a big sports and leisure empire. How does that journey come about? What caused you to sort of change roles in that way? Because the two jobs must be very, very different.
Yeah. Sometimes I look back and think, it's quite nice being a personal trainer. Yeah. That, you know, was at the time a very, very good job. I think there's, you know, along my career journey, I've always wanted to learn. And I think that's probably an aspect that's seen me get to where I am today, is just being as a fitness instructor, always asking questions, always quite curious. And I think just having an overall team involvement. So despite, you know, being a fitness instructor, and then I was promoted to fitness manager. So yeah. I suppose showing leadership qualities, managing the team. And then as a fitness manager, there's more to leisure centres and health clubs than just the gym. So then it's being, you know, showing willingness, whether that's hospitality in the cafe, membership sales or reception. And I think just showing a willingness to be a little bit more rounded. Mm. And then, you know, as my career developed, was from fitness manager to then a general manager, moving over to public leisure. And then what then you recognise is that a general manager of a, you know, relatively medium-sized leisure facility, there's other leisure centres out there that have even more. So then you're quite curious about wanting. So I've gone from, you know, managing one leisure facility to managing, I spent a short while in St Albans that was a very diverse contract. So perhaps if I backtrack, so I was fitness manager at Virgin Active and a Sporter, and then moved over to a company called One Life as a general manager at Carnival Pool, that was a leisure pool, small sort of 50 station gym, then moved over to Loddon Valley Leisure Centre, that's probably quite similar to the Mountbatten Centre, big sports hall, climbing walls, etc. And then I got promoted to an area manager position in St Albans, and it was a very varied role, seven sites, but not your traditional leisure facility. So two golf courses, as well as two theatres, so Alban Arena, that's got that sort of events, hospitality background, Harpenden Public Halls as it was at the time, big community space. So you find yourself just being very diverse, operating a lot of different leisure facilities, to then be given the opportunity to look at look after that I did in 2018, moving to BH Live, looking after the Portsmouth contract. So six leisure facilities there, as we were talking about off camera, Dave, around the Pyramid Centre being a very diverse leisure facility, also the Mountbatten Centre, gymnastics centre, tennis centre. So, you know, it's a very long answer to your question around how have I gone from fitness instructor to where I am today. But it's being curious, always wanting to learn, and just in terms of having the leadership to bring your staff on the journey with you to make sure they're delivering, you know, the good things that you want to be doing.
So you've alluded there to a number of different facilities in the city. So people might well be familiar with BH Live and the Mountbatten Centre. They may know that you have the Pyramids as well, but they might not know about some of the others. So what does the Portsmouth BH Live portfolio look like?
Yeah, so we operate six leisure facilities in Portsmouth. So the ones commonly known, I've already made reference to the Mountbatten Centre, the Pyramid Centre. We also operate Portsmouth Gymnastics Centre, Portsmouth Tennis Centre, Charter Community Sports Centre, that's in the city centre, not far from here at the Guildhall, and then Wimbledon Park Sports Centre. But so despite us, BH Live, being located in those six facilities, there is quite a lot that we enjoy doing out in the community. So, you know, whether that's taking part at certain events across the city, but popping up in community halls, running exercise classes. So, you know, six leisure facilities that we're proud to manage. But there's a lot more that we do out in the community.
Almost like outreach.
Yeah, precisely that, yeah.
Yeah, and you said there that the facilities that you manage, so BH Live doesn't own those facilities.
Yep, that's correct. So we have a leisure operating contract with Portsmouth City Council, so we manage the facilities on their behalf.
Yeah. So beyond Portsmouth, and of course we started with the Bournemouth link and BH Live, because if I think of BH Live, I'm immediately thinking of the BIC at Bournemouth International Centre, which is what people might know as BH Live, but it's clearly a much bigger portfolio, and it's not just sports centres.
Yeah, that's correct. So yeah, BH Live, so we have 17 leisure facilities and then three event venues. So the event venues being Bournemouth International Centre, Bournemouth Pavilion, and then we also operate Fairfield Halls up in South East London, Croydon. So that's our event portfolio, but what comes under me is all the leisure facilities. Mm-hmm. So we've got six in Bournemouth, five now in Southampton. We've just started a new partnership there as of 1st of September, and the six in Portsmouth. And it's very much, it's not BH Live's objective to be up and down the country looking after leisure facilities. We very much want to be local, South Coast, you know, Bournemouth, Southampton, Portsmouth really fits our portfolio really well.
Yeah, so regional.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I suppose, so you mentioned 2018, 2017 you came to, 2017 BH Live came to Portsmouth, 2018 you came to Portsmouth.
That's correct, yeah.
And, I mean, people will remember, we've seen a lot of transition, a lot of development at the Mountbatten Centre, but quite significant changes with the Pyramid Centre. So what happened there? Why the journey? Because most people remember, you know, back in their youth, there's the tubes and the swimming pool and also a nightclub and a great concert venue. But it's very different now.
Yeah. I suppose it's worth emphasising. So BH Live actually started the Pyramids in 2013 and then took over the rest of the sites in 2017. I joined BH Live mid 2018. Mm. And I suppose at the time, you know, everybody would recognise that the Pyramids did look a bit underinvested. I think from the plaza, there was an event venue, the swimming pool, and there was quite a lot of mechanical plant issues, and the gym was relatively small. There was a condition survey that was done on the Pyramid Centre, really highlighting quite, you know, significant, we're talking millions of pounds of investment that was needed for a lot of the back of house items just to get the swimming pool, I suppose, fit for purpose. Let alone then you need to spend money what customers can actually see. So there was a proposal that BH Live took to the City Council, and then in partnership, looked at changing the concept. So basically mothballing the swimming pool, so not touching anything in the plant room and spending any money on customer facing areas. And that did result in the pool being closed to transitioning it into what is now a very busy, thriving play and bounce park that really is attracting the same and similar users that would be using the pool, but now into the soft play. Yeah. Got four dedicated party rooms there that are, you know, very successful. We've done in the first 3 years, Exploria, the play and bounce park, when that opened, it's done 3,000 birthday parties, so 1,000 parties a year. So that's doing really well. We're really proud of our achievements there. And then in terms of the plaza that was the old event space, we moved and I suppose invested into what is an amazing gym, state-of-the-art equipment, lovely finishes in terms of the changing rooms and the whole aesthetics, and being quite iconic right in the centre of one of the pyramids. Yeah. Really proud of the investment. And we've also kept the glasshouse space, so we're able to run live music events, weddings, parties. Especially now with the sea defence works done, we've just opened from this spring a small catering outlet overlooking the Solent that's great for dog walkers and passerbys to come in for, enjoy the weather. Really proud as to what's happened at Pyramids. But it's been a bit of a journey, and I suppose the final thing I would say is that Pyramids, was underinvested because it was losing significant money back in 2018, and it's very much turned that whole commercial performance. So, as I say, we're very proud of what we've achieved.
Brilliant. And obviously lots of development there, but at the same time, we've seen lots going on at the Mountbatten Centre as well. As I was saying before, I kind of remember it back as a big sports hall and a few squash courts. And then they added the swimming pool, the velodrome. Obviously, the gymnastics centre and the tennis centre have come along since. There always seems to be more being added. And is that still the case? Are there still more plans for the Mountbatten Centre?
Yeah, so a lot of the initial investment was in 2017 when BH Live started. So done a huge refurbishment at the cafe. some small investment up in the gym. And I think, you know, we're always looking at pockets of opportunity as to how we can increase physical activity, make the spaces more welcoming, and just keep them modern and up to date. So, you know, we've invested in recent years in some changing room refurbishments, so new showers in both the gents and the females. In terms of the cafe, new cafe furniture we invested in last year. We're just excitedly about to launch a new attraction in the main sports hall. So from October half term this year, we've got a big 8 badminton court size mega inflatable that, if you can imagine, a small bouncy castle but on steroids to encompass that 8 court. That we're seeing that should hopefully attract, you know, young kids, families, even grown men like you, Dave, hopefully can come in and have a bounce and a slide. You know, we're always looking to invest to keep the centres modern, up to date, and ultimately keep on increasing our attendance each year.
And we kind of alluded to the outreach and the community stuff, and I think that's probably quite an important, the community side of it's quite an important segue into what you actually are, because I've used the word already in the podcast business, but technically you're not, are you? Charity.
Exactly. So we are. So BH Live are a charity and social enterprise. So that means that any money that BH Live makes has to be reinvested back into the facilities. So that's very much, you know, what we've been doing over recent years, and whether, you know, to fund the cafe furniture, to fund the changing rooms refurbishment, is all money that, you know, BH Life have made as a charity, and we invested. So there's no shareholders that take any profits. So despite it sounding like that, you know, we are a relatively big charity, quite significant turnover. It really is an important point to emphasise that whatever we make is reinvested. And I suppose as part of being BH Live, and a perception that residents will have, is that we run it as a commercial business. And there will be aspects that through health and fitness membership and other things that we do. But what that does is pay for some of the community programs that we're delivering. So, you know, we have quite a substantial long-term health condition program, taking a variety of referrals from stroke rehab, cardiac rehab, COPD, pre and post cancer. We're delivering all those sessions subsidised at cheaper memberships or cheaper pay as you go rates, and that's because we can afford it, because of some of the, you know, more commercial aspects that we operate. So that's really what we're all about, is, you know, we need to be seen making money, but that's only so then we can look at reinvesting in programmes and I suppose the physical investment that you know, we've shown that we're putting in.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose if we consider sort of some of that stuff, and the preventative angle of healthy lifestyles and that, organisations such as yourself suddenly have quite an important role in the community overall, linking into things like public health strategy and stuff like that. So do you find you get involved in those sorts of things?
Yeah, very much so. And we're finding the sort of leisure and fitness industry is definitely changing, where before we were always seen as a reactive solution. So someone's diagnosed and then they come to us for support. It's trying to create that healthy lifestyle to be more proactive. So before someone has a fall and, you know, breaks their hip or whatever, is that we put on those falls prevention programs and those type of classes in order to be proactive, to hopefully, you know, keep people away from seeing their GP in hospital. So there's a big target, you know, as a charity, and that we have in Portsmouth is around increasing and improving social value, it's a key metric that we want to ensure that we keep on increasing, just by, you know, I suppose, being proactive around that healthy lifestyles, healthy living, and getting people more active.
And obviously linked to that as well, And very much and very welcome as well, a growing focus on mental health and well-being. And obviously when you look at things like 5 ways to well-being, exercise and movement's quite key to that. And so do you find yourselves getting drawn into that arena as well?
Yeah.
And not just physical health, but mental health too?
Yeah, we actually have a Ports of Interaction program. So through a team of staff that actually deliver sessions for those suffering with mental health conditions. So we try and provide pathways for those that are really suffering with, you know, quite moderate mental health conditions, to get them into perhaps more of a relaxed leisure setting. So whether that's just in a studio space or one of our quieter centres at sort of off-peak time, to get, you know, residents that are suffering to, you know, build up their confidence, get them more physically active, show them the benefits, to hopefully provide a pathway where they feel comfortable attending on their own, to, you know, whether that's taking part in a badminton class, walking netball, or, you know, hopefully using the swimming pool and gyms at their free will. And yeah, as I say, we provide pathway opportunities through our interaction program to deliver that.
Yeah, yeah. So I suppose it's quite interesting, because you kind of look at it and see a sports centre, commercial operation, that's what it is. So much more to that side of stuff. The health angle, the social value angle, those community programs. How do you decide what you're going to do, where you're going to do it? How does all of that happen? Because it's, you know, it's like you could just end up getting lost in yourself with the sheer amount of stuff you want to deliver.
Yeah, so we have annual sports development plans, community outreach plans. So, you know, we want to be part of the events that are going on in the city.
And are they closely linked with things like public health strategy?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So we work very closely with Port City Council, Energise Me, that are the county health provider, and even some of the other charities in Portsmouth we're linking closely with. So we, you know, we want to be present, especially in those sort of hard to reach group areas. It's very much putting in an annual plan, you know, having quarterly reviews, making sure we're on track. And we very much focus on some of those hard to reach groups. So some that we mentioned, we really focus in and promote sort of low income initiatives.
Yeah.
So, you know, we go into more of the deprived wards and, you know, make sure the education's there around what we offer. What one of those is an example, not necessarily linked to low incomes, but it's under 12s free swimming. So any resident living between PO1 and PO6 can be coming into the Mountbatten Centre or Charter for free public swimming. Not that well known, but again, it's a charity objective that we have to encourage more people into our swimming pools. The other targeted groups is juniors. We know the obesity crisis is getting lower and lower in age. We want to get children and juniors more active. BAME community, so Black Asian Minority Ethnic groups. So we run a few sessions at Wimbledon Park and Charter. Other ones, SEN groups, disabilities, and I've already mentioned long-term health conditions. So we want to make sure that we're targeting those through our annual plans. I think one of the aspects that I would want to very much recognise is the other charities that come in and are part of that journey. So I'm talking that, you know, and we do deliver a lot, BH Live delivers a lot, but it's very much supported by the clubs, stakeholders in the facilities, and very much the other charities that I know quite a few who partner with Shaping Portsmouth, also partner with BH Live. So, you know, it is, I suppose, definitely the strength of Shaping Portsmouth and the value that we see being a member has been around the linking in of all those partnerships. Yeah. And, you know, we want to continue to grow that locally here in Portsmouth.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's huge strength in partnership, and we kind of all want to be pulling in the same direction rather than sort of trampling over each other. But you alluded before to when we were talking about the Mountbatten Centre and development future stuff, but what does the future for BH Live look like in the city?
Yeah, well, our existing contract with the City Council ends at the moment in February 2027. However, there's, as part of our leisure contract, there's an option on both sides to be able to extend our partnership for up to 10 years. You know, we are very committed and want to remain in Portsmouth, and the City Council know that. So we're having some discussions at the moment around extending that partnership. And as part of that, you know, BH Live would look to committing some investment, and I say some investment, significant investment into the facilities. You know, already as we've spoken about them, our Mountbatten Centre, Gymnastics Centre, Tennis Centre, Pyramids. I think there's, you know, if you were to survey customers as we do regularly to to get their ideas as to where aspects of the facility are looking tired and need investment. They are most likely the areas that we are going going to hopefully do. But as I say, we're in dialogue with the City Council at the moment, but very much committed to the city and want to remain here. And I understand that City Council want that as well.
And I'm guessing that there, whilst you own the buildings, whilst the council own the buildings and you run the contract, that contract would involve the upkeep of all the equipment, the furnishings, all of the maintenance stuff. So that investment keeps the centres running to the standard the city would want them at.
Yeah. Precisely, and having a longer term partnership agreement allows us to be able to invest more, which is exactly the discussions we're having at the moment. So, based on an extension, there is significant investment that ultimately is only going to benefit the residents of Portsmouth to get more modern, up to date facilities that everybody can be proud of.
And so you mentioned your beginnings sort of as a keen rugby player, and we've just had the Women's Rugby World Cup and the great victory for the England team there. We've had the recent one with the women's football team. And I suppose, how much do you find those great sporting achievements at sort of a national level influence people's uptake of sport locally, and more particularly with that emphasis on the success in women's sport? Do you notice a difference?
Yeah, so national trends in the past have always been that female physical activity is lower than men's, but we in the last few years we are definitely seeing a turn of the needle that is so good to see. And to answer the second part of that, it is important that we continue the legacy of the success we see on the TV of the women's winning the Euros or the Red Roses winning the rugby. And it's very starting them from such a young age, we'll provide pathways into clubs if that's what they want to go. We work closely with them, but it's about how we can provide the confidence for them to start on that journey and pathway. So we run a variety of different sports rather than just leisure facilities. Yeah. And we're so fortunate with the gymnastics center, tennis center, because you can imagine when the Olympics has just happened, and again athletic cycling, that again is another boom. And it's so important, as you say, that we capitalize on the opportunity when it's there. Just in terms of the facilities we've got in Portsmouth, we haven't got rugby players, rugby clubs, so to speak, but what we have got is good space, outdoor green fields, big sports hall for dry weather. So it's something that we continue to look at, is where there's space in the sports hall, how can we fill it, what initiatives, and it's providing those opportunities to clubs to come in and use our facilities as well. So we see this, I suppose, the success from the club, but also for BH Live.
And linked to that, do you see the profile of the sort of fitness and leisure activity that people want to be involved in changing over time?
Yeah, so sport I think is on quite an interesting journey, that I think fitness, long-term health is becoming a little bit more prominent at the moment. So I think sport nationally, there are some sports that are in quite significant decline, others that are doing really well. So female sport in particular is really, really growing at the moment. I think I still continue to see the trend on fitness going upwards. Just as a leisure operator, we're seeing new gyms popping up all the time in retail units that are closing. And that is only good as far as I'm concerned. It's not necessarily the competitive nature of having a new gym crop up around the corner. They're going to take your members. Ultimately, it's just going to keep more people more active. So, we're definitely seeing a continued increase in gym memberships and people wanting to be fit. That, as I say, from the obesity crisis we're in at the moment, it's only a good thing. The more, as far as I'm concerned, the more gyms, health clubs, health facilities, wellness facilities that we've got, it's definitely for the better.
Definitely. And I suppose it's easy to think of the obesity crisis and food and food intake and diet
but actually a lot of it's got to do with sedentary lifestyles as well, and the, you know, the fact that people are very IT reliant. So, you know, you can now work a whole day without leaving your chair because you're constantly on your screen. So that lack of movement creates problems in itself. So
yeah, it does. And I think the trading pattern now with you know, still quite a lot of community residents working from home, it has also provided flexibility around when people come to the gym. Before, it would have been, you know, after 5 o'clock it's going to be heaving in the gym. Now we're seeing a constant flow of people, that, you know, equally is good because it means that after work it's not as busy as what it used to be. So, but yeah, completely right, Dave, it's about just how we encourage just more active, you know, active lifestyles. It isn't just, you know, what I'd really want to emphasize is being fit, being active doesn't mean you need to have a gym membership. As much as I work for, you know, a gym and leisure operator, just being active, a 45 minute to an hour walk a day, do your 10,000 steps, get out on the bike for a little bit, you know, just being physically active, doing something different every day, you know, to keep people, keep yourself off your chair. You know, the benefits for that is so huge that I think sometimes isn't necessarily measured as an outcome, as much as it should be.
Yeah. And of course, the other thing linked to that is the community aspect of sport, in that, you know, even going to the gym, you're there mixing with other people. So if you are spending your days working from home, it can be quite isolating. So I'm guessing there's an element of what you do that's around clubs, classes, interaction, people mixing with each other, and the more social side of sporting.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, you know, there's quite a few of our customers that just come in for the coffee after other customers have done a class. And I think, you know, again, it's probably an outcome that we don't measure as good as we should, because we're all, you know, thinking about the physical benefits of the social value. But in terms of the social and economic benefits of, you know, customers coming in. But that's why we try where we can to have some sort of hospitality offer, good coffee, allow customers to enjoy that straight after their workout, or not even necessarily after, but even before. We definitely see the benefit of that.
Yeah, and I suppose, and not knowing what date this is going to go out yet, but we're probably about, I don't know, 10 weeks, 12 weeks away from Christmas and New Year. And do you see a massive peak in new memberships, the New Year resolution crowd all wanting to join the gym that then disappear at February? Is that really a thing? Does that happen?
Yes, it does. It does, but I think, you know, again, coming out of the pandemic, that has changed, where a lot more people are more aware of their overall well-being. So we are seeing more of a constant growth around membership throughout the year.
Yeah.
Yes, you'll get some peaks and your less busy time, so, you know, the summer holidays, you can imagine, goes relatively quiet just before Christmas does as well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, January, and, you know, although everybody laughs because it's a big stereotype of, you know, wanting to get fit after the New Year, I think it's really important that, you know, as an individual, you set yourself some goals, a new target. I think the New Year does provide that as an opportunity. So, although, yes, the changing rooms and gyms busier, the swimming pool, but, you know, it's something that I think is very much a good thing. Our goal as the operator is how we can keep them going via length of stay, and make sure that, you know, they're feeling engaged, motivated, and we're giving them a goal to work towards to keep them motivated. The last thing that we do genuinely want to see is that, you know, mid-February
they're all disappearing.
Disappearing. But
so for the person that's out there that maybe doesn't necessarily like sporting activity so much, or doesn't feel confident in that sort of arena, because I mean, gyms can be quite daunting places sometimes when you walk in there and see all the people throwing big weights around. And what would be your advice to someone who wants to sort of take those initial steps into improving their fitness and their health?
Yeah, I think, you know, we really try and encourage a very welcoming space. We've got receptionists ready to greet, you know, any type of resident that comes in. You know, for the example that you've given me is that, you know, we will meet and greet any individual and give them a very relaxed tour around the facilities, understand their goals, and I think in a very comforting environment. Once, and if they were to be interested in either coming in as a pay-as-you-go customer or as a member, you know, we provide a full induction, and that again is tailored around to their needs. So if they feel very nervous around, you know, moving to the free weights or not using weights or not knowing how to use a machine, you know, there's an instructor on hand that talks them through how to use it, but also is there available when they next come in to meet them and to, you know, make sure that they have the confidence to so they feel they know what they're doing. There are, what I would also say is there are other aspects around some of the classes that we operate, so some of the how-to classes. So again, if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed with, with the class program, but we, you know, we have got staff front of house in reception that will welcome customers and make them feel as relaxed as possible. And I think that you know it's a huge part about what we try and deliver. The only other thing that I would probably add outside of BH Live is that there's, you know, plenty of online content now that, you know, residents can make use of, whether that's YouTube, of, you know, doing different searches just to make them feel a little bit more relaxed around what is a different type of, you know, a particular type of class. Yeah, I think just to provide that education piece that, yeah, to, I think, just make residents, customers feel a little bit more comfortable coming in for the first time.
And, you know, reflecting back on the sort of personal training side of it, do you miss that element of it, or are you quite happy now being a bit more strategic?
Yeah, well, I think there's aspects of both that, you know, I thoroughly enjoy, you know, my company who I work for, thoroughly enjoy what I do, the team I have working with me, but at the same time, there are, you know, the clients you miss, the interactions you have, and going back to basic, you know, I thoroughly enjoy walking around my centres, talking to people, seeing how they are. You know, it ultimately comes down to improving people's days. And, you know, I am very fortunate to work in a fantastic industry where we're here to better people's lives, make people, you know, happier, healthier. So the aspect that I really miss is, I suppose, the client side more. Yeah. You know, I don't get to interact with customers as much as, you know, I'd like or as I can now. And that's probably the bit that I miss the most.
And I'm guessing it's a role now that comes with quite a bit of travelling, having to look over a portfolio the size of the one you've got.
Yeah, you know, wherever I live in Waterlooville, Portsmouth, Port are being my home site, shall we say, started here. I try and base myself here once, if not twice a week.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Bournemouth equally, normally twice a week. And then Southampton, that's a relatively new partnership. But yeah, you know, Bournemouth, Portsmouth, Southampton, you know, an hour or so's commute, but yeah, absolutely fine.
Brilliant. Great stuff. And any other good local initiatives on the horizon? Any other things that people can watch out for that are coming?
All I would probably say is for anyone listening to this podcast that is hearing about what BH Live delivers, if there's any partnership that, you know, other charities, organisations would like to work with us on, you know, we are very open to a conversation, whether that's around hiring some space or, you know, us working in partnership to deliver a local initiative. I can't say there's anything at the moment in the pipeline around any new programmes, initiatives that's worth sharing at this stage. But, yeah, I would really encourage and welcome anyone to reach out to me, you know, personally on LinkedIn or speak to anyone within my team in Portsmouth. We'll be very happy to have a conversation with them.
Brilliant. Really strong community offer all round. So it's good to see. So as you've probably grasped, we always finish our Shaping Portsmouth podcasts by asking our guest for a recommendation of something to do or somewhere to go in the city. So the obvious one would be to go to the gym and have a workout. But have you got any thoughts? What would be your top tip of something to do in Portsmouth?
Yeah, do you know, there is so much good things to do. So I think to point to one's very difficult. Of course, with my professional hat on, I'm going to say we have to have a workout. And I would say for anyone listening that hasn't been to any of the any of my facilities, then I would recommend going in for a workout. But then once you've had a workout, you need to then go indulge in some good food. And there's plenty of places, again, in Portsmouth. You know, I'm a big fan of the Sea Defence as to what's there on the seafront now. So I would probably, if you really have to push me, a workout at the Pyramids in the gym, followed by probably going to the 10th hole. And I was going to say a nice slice of cake, but I think that's not sending the right message to the audience, given what I've said for the last half an hour.
Brand. But that's just replenishing the lost calories from the workout. Surely that's acceptable. One cancels the other out.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, I suppose, morning to mid-morning, and then probably an afternoon at Gunwolf Keys, you know, having a wander around the shops. Again, nice coffee there, followed by some nice food in the evening.
Yeah, you can't beat Gunwolf Keys. But yeah, 10th hole, really great little venue, and in fact, great for a little bit of pitch and putt and something to eat. But
that again comes down to the workout, Dave, doesn't it? That you haven't got to be in the gym, you can be just walking the pitch and putt.
Out doing it, definitely. And I mean, obviously, if someone did just want to go for a workout, and because you said about, you know, you reference people who've not used your facilities before, if someone just wanted to start and wanted to try it and find out, is that something that's really easy to do without having to sign up to a sort of membership contract?
So all of our facilities are open on a pay-as-you-go basis. So whether that's using the athletics track at the Mountbatten Centre, just coming in for a swim at the Mountbatten, or the gym, or even a specific class at the Pyramid Centre, and also booking an outdoor tennis court at the tennis centre. So all of those come as pay-as-you-go. Visit our website, bhlive.co.uk, and then you just click on a booking and then search what you want to do, whether that's swim, tennis, badminton, and then all the prices are there. An opportunity to come in as a pay-as-you-go.
Yeah, brilliant. Great way for people to try it before they're committing to memberships and contracts and things.
Yeah, absolutely.
But brilliant. Been really interesting chatting to you, Rob. Learned an awful lot there I didn't know about the facilities. So must come in and have a proper look myself. But thank you. It's been good talking to you.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
This podcast was brought to you by Shaping Portsmouth, working to make Portsmouth the number one UK city in which to invest, live, learn, work and visit. To find out more, please visit shapingportsmouth.co.uk. This podcast was supported by Spark Community Space and Portsmouth Community Lottery.